We've been exploring crime novels that tell you something about the cities where they're set. Today is the final installment of our series, Crime in the City. We go to an unlikely setting for a detective series, Laos, circa 1976, shortly after the communists took power. The protagonist is the country's coroner, a man in his 70s, and Dr. Siri Pieboon develops a special relationship with the dead. NPR's Michael Sullivan spoke with the author in the Laotian capital, Vientiane.
Colin Cotterill believes in fate, and fate seemed to determine early on that he would write the Dr. Siri books, though he didn't know it for quite some time. But it all made perfect sense to me after he led me down a narrow alley off Vientiane's Samsuntai Road and stopped in front of a faded five-story building.
This is the back of what used to be Vientiane Hospital. And when I first arrived in Laos, I was traveling with a doctor, and he leaned over to me and said, "Do you realize you have hepatitis?" I told him that that was ridiculous, and he sent me to the bathroom, and I looked in the mirror, and there was this big yellow creature staring back at me. So my first month in Laos was spent on the second floor of this building, and I was in isolation, being looked after by a large nurse who was very friendly, very helpful, and her name was Dui.
Nurse Dui is one of the three main characters in the Dr. Siri mysteries, and the real-life Nurse Dui helped persuade Cotterill to move into the hospital permanently after his recovery in an apartment above the operating room.
And there I stayed for 2 years as an honorary member of the medical staff, and I would pop down and watch them doing operations and visit the patients in the wards, and became very friendly with the doctors, and I got to learn about the Lao medical inadequacies firsthand.
Cotterill came to Laos on a project for UNESCO. He wanted to learn Lao. He already had Thai. So he began recording long interviews with just about everyone he met to work on his pronunciation. And in the process, he came away with fascinating stories of the years before and after the communist takeover.
Yes, unbeknownst to me, I was going to use them in books that I hadn't decided to write. So something psychological was happening that forced me to collect information, not knowing what to do with it.
He figured it out eventually, some 10 years later, after spending time as a teacher and running an NGO protecting children from sex offenders in Thailand. It was after that he finally decided to sit down and write about Laos.
You'd find Lao as extras in a novel talking about the Vietnam War, but you never saw the Laos people. And so what I wanted to do was to give them a voice and personality and feelings.
Those characters, Dr. Siri, Nurse Dui, and Mr. Gung, are drawn with sardonic humor. The sign over the door of Siri's office reads morgue in French. But the doormat, Dr. Siri's personal touch, says welcome in English. The place the author and I go to sit and talk is welcoming, too, and figures prominently in the first book, The Coroner's Lunch.
I imagine Dr. Siri having a room on this side of the house, overlooking the temple, watching the monks sweeping the leaves early in the morning. And I would be sitting on this balcony early in the morning writing my notes about the Dr. Siri series, interrupted by the sound of the gong from the abbot on the far side of the temple.
What makes these mysteries different, aside from the exotic location, is Dr. Siri's relationship with the dead. That is to say, his ability to see and converse with the dead, particularly the souls of the recently departed who end up in his morgue.
I didn't know this until after I'd written the book, but there are certain rules that you have to observe, and you're not allowed to cheat. You have to solve your crimes through the guile and common sense of a detective. Whereas Dr. Siri has clues from the beyond, which don't solve the cases for him, but which linger in his mind all the way through. He refers back to the clues that he gets, but he doesn't solve his mysteries through them.
A reluctant coroner and an even more reluctant communist whose nightly walks home only serve to remind him of the new regime's failings.
Siri walked back through the deserted streets. It was only 8 p.m., but Setatilat Road was as quiet as the grave. Only an unlit bicycle passed him on his way home. Small pyres of burned rubbish were smouldering on street corners. A rat emerged from a drain and chased a skinny cat through the portal of Ong Tư Temple. These were streets that used to ignore time. Clubs and bars that closed only when the last drunk fell out onto the street. Whores and addicts had littered the sidewalks. He'd heard about that other extremity, and here he was at this one. He couldn't bring himself to believe there wasn't something safe and joyful between the two.
Sadly, as Cotterill sees it, in modern-day Vientiane, that middle ground seems as elusive as ever.
This is not the Vientiane of Dr. Siri. This is a bar on a rooftop with a large screen television playing in one corner, six pool tables in the other, reggae music playing over the speakers, and attractive young ladies in short skirts sitting around waiting for an event for the evening. This is the same street that Dr. Siri would walk along on his way home to his house. He would be very disappointed. I think he would be disappointed, but he wouldn't be surprised.
The seedy nightlife is just one of Cotterill's laments about his and Dr. Siri's Vientiane. Cotterill is especially worried about creeping cultural imperialism from Thailand, just across the Mekong River.
Lao youth have a Thai culture. They watch Thai television programs and read Thai magazines. The girls wearing shorts and high heel shoes and tank tops. And even in the 90s, that was unthinkable. Girls would be arrested for dressing like that.
And yet, for all his grumbling, Cotterill comes back several times a year to help manage the charities he helps run, to do research for his books, but mostly because he just can't help it.
I keep coming for the people and the heart. I keep coming because every time I come to Laos, something weird and wonderful happens. There's always the element of the mystical, that when I step off the airplane, I know something wonderful or something terrible is going to happen to me.
And in fact, had he not been kicked out of Laos in 1994 for reasons he can't explain, he's convinced he'd still be living here instead of Thailand, probably teaching and probably not writing mysteries.
We wouldn't have Dr. Siri. You wouldn't be sitting here beside me in the base of the Tat Dam stupa looking at the American embassy, sweating ourselves to death in the midday sun because you sat us on the wrong side of the stupa in the sunshine.
Fair enough, but it was the quiet side. I had no choice, really. Fate. Michael Sullivan, NPR News.
And you can read a chapter from Colin Cotterill's latest novel, The Curse of the Pogo Stick, at npr.org. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.